Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Sammy P of Fox Sports and the Chicken Dinner Podcast will join us. We will go over the NFL playoffs, all six games, Indiana, Oregon, plenty to do, a great weekend ahead. And a great weekend ahead started with a great game on Thursday night. Miami advances to the national title game. Congratulations to the Bear, Chris Felica. And what a game it was. Boy, Miami would have been sick to their stomach if they had lost this game. I picked Ole Miss plus 3.5, and they led late. And you could say, oh, that was the right side when you had the lead late, and they only lost by 4. Not the right side. Miami was the much better team. I think if they played 10 times, Miami wins maybe 8 of the 10. Miami just kept them in it. Flags, you know, got cute on offense, running flea flickers, dropped interceptions. Miami did everything they could to keep Ole Miss in this game, but every time they needed to answer, they did. It looked like it started to get dicey. The 3rd and 8 late, incomplete. It's going to be 4th and 8, where if they don't get this, game's over. But a face mask was called, correctly called, instead of a pass interference where you get the 15 yards. And, boy, Fowler had a terrible game, and he's usually pretty solid. He had a horrible game. He's questioned whether it was a face mask. At one point, Ole Miss is down one, and he says, well, if they score a touchdown here, they go up 8. There were some strange things from Fowler. They're down 3 in the final minute or so, and he's saying, should they go for the win or should they settle for the field? I mean, just really some bizarre comments. I didn't think he saw the field well. There was a pass that was incomplete where he wasn't sure, and he just basically left it open-ended and couldn't tell if it was a complete pass. Fowler had a really rough game, but a tremendous game. The better team won. I'm sure it'd be interesting if you gave Lane Kiffin true serum and you asked him, is he relieved tonight? That, man, I didn't give up a chance to win a national championship. Or is it still, there's still part of him said, man, if I was there tonight in a close game, maybe we win that game. Is there still part of him that's a little conflicted as he's counting his money in LSU and possibly left a chance to compete for a national title on the, you know, in the past? And I think that that's something that I'd be fascinated to know Lane Kiffin's true thoughts. But Ole Miss is done. It was an incredible run. Chambliss is an incredible player. He got away with a bunch of interceptions. I mean, a bunch. There were a handful of interceptions that Miami, you know, could have had, should have had. The kicker's really good for Ole Miss, even though he missed one. So Ole Miss showed themselves well. It's just Miami, and I mentioned this off the top, Miami just got too cute. It felt like Miami could just line up and run the ball 4 or 5 yards a carry. The flea flicker, that was a big sequence. The flea flicker was the second half, but that was a big sequence. Before the end of the first half, Miami's up 17-10. And before that, at one point, it was 84 to -3 in terms of yardage. Miami's only up 3-0, and that's never a good sign. It's like in baseball when you leave a bunch of runners on base. You get the bases loaded the first 3 or 4 innings, and you look up, and you're only up 1-0 or something similar to that. And then before you know it, Lacy hits the home run play. Well, the Miami safety took a bad angle at 7-3 Ole Miss. And just like that, Ole Miss had the lead. But Miami up 17-10 right before the half. And they had the ball. And they got the ball to start the third quarter. You figure, all right, you go in. Maybe you get a field goal here. It's 20-10. You could put it away first drive of the third quarter. They take a sack, which you can't do. Even if you just run the ball there. And Saban made this point at halftime. Thought it was a good one. Even if you just run the ball for no gain, Ole Miss is going to be happy. Ole Miss is not going to dare you and call timeouts. Ole Miss is getting gashed defensively. They would have said, all right, you can run the ball, you can run the clock, and we'll go into halftime down 7. Ole Miss ends up getting a field goal before the half. Miami gets nothing. Their first drive out of the third quarter. They trade, missed field goals, eventually a tipped pick. Miami throws after Miami dropped a bunch. I mean, there was a sequence. Felt like within 5 plays, Miami dropped 2 or 3 interceptions, including one where, man, it was just right in the guy's hands for a bunch of seconds and hit the ground, or a bunch of split seconds. It felt like a while, but couldn't quite corral it. But regardless, Miami moves on. And just look back at the path here. A month or so ago, plus 650 to get in. Underdog against A&M. Big underdog against Ohio State. 200-1 to win the whole thing a couple days before the selection. And 5-6-1 to get in moments before the selection. They're in, and they made a run here. And the pro talent is real. The one thing going forward here, and the title game is not until next Monday, so you have plenty of time to talk about it and think about it. And Miami will get some, you know, some rest for these guys. Miami took a beating. Their whole secondary got hurt, it felt like. A bunch of their defensive linemen, they were just holding on for dear life at the end. And even when they score with 18 seconds left to take the lead, I thought they called timeout a little too quickly. There was 23 seconds left. They had second and goal. They had two timeouts. They were never going to run out of time. They stopped the clock with 23 seconds. I thought, you know, run it down to 15, 14. You're going to have your two plays, and then if they don't work, you're going to kick the field goal. I didn't think 23 seconds. I didn't think you had to call timeout. It almost bit him because with 18 seconds left, and you saw Cristobal, one of his coaches, went to hug him, and Cristobal, who's a curmudgeonly guy to begin with, throws him off him and says, get off me. This game's not over. 23 seconds left. Before you can blink, Chambliss is throwing the ball into the end zone. It was a bad Hail Mary attempt. You got to aim for the front of the end zone there and just hope to get a tip, because any sort of tip in the back of the end zone, especially near the boundary towards the side, it's just you're not going to complete the pass. You want to give yourself a chance at luck. Give yourself a chance at a tipped ball and throw it in the middle and not flirt with the boundary on the side, not flirt with the boundary, you know, out of bounds in the back. But regardless, it's Miami. They move on. The look-ahead lines had Miami, I think, a two-point dog to Oregon and about a five-point dog to Indiana. I thought the Indiana line was a little high considering this game isn't going to be in Miami. They're going to be playing not only for the national title, they're going to be playing on their home field. That being said, they took a beating here, so we'll see who they play here in, 10 days or so. January 19th, I think, is the title. Martin Luther King Day that night. So should be a lot of fun. Think we're looking for a hell of a title game. Who will they play? We will find out Friday night. Oregon versus Indiana, the rematch. I mentioned this the other day. I like Oregon. I think we've seen that recently in the past couple of years. And, you know, I've heard Saban, you've heard other coaches say it's hard to beat a team twice, you know, in the same season, which can be a little overrated at times because, you know what, you can beat a team twice if you're much better than them. But if you're just around even teams, we saw that with Georgia Ole Miss. Georgia got them the first time. Ole Miss got their revenge. You know, last year, Oregon, Ohio State. Oregon beats them in the regular season. Ohio State thumps them in the playoff. I just think Oregon, a little healthier, the skill guys than they were when they played middle of the year. The film guys mentioned when you play Indiana, that defense is very complex. It gives you a lot of different looks. And the first time you see it, it's very uncomfortable. Maybe Moore's a little more comfortable, the Oregon quarterback, this time around. So I think it should be a good game, a fun game. Friday night leading into a wild card weekend. And this is about as fun as it gets with this stretch of football here. So standalone game, chance to go to the national final and take on Miami. I'll take Oregon plus the 3.5. I got a feeling Oregon wins the game. I do like Oregon plus the points. So should be fun. Can't emphasize enough how much I'm looking forward to this and the rest of the games this weekend. Before we get to Sammy P, I'll go game by game here and give a thought on each one. I like the Rams here. It's up to 11. I know you don't make money laying double digits in the NFL, especially laying double digits on the road. I just think that the Rams are so much better than the Panthers. You look back at that first game, it was turnovers. It was turnovers for touchdowns, another turnover in the red zone. Carolina was great on third down, great on fourth down. I don't think that history repeats itself here. I worry a little bit about the rain. Maybe the score is reduced, and 11's a hell of a lot of points. I get that. I like the Rams minus the points. Maybe the team total is the better way to go, because you figure the Rams, as long as the weather's reasonable, Adams is going to be back. Figure as long as the weather is reasonable, they're going to put up a big number here, are the Rams. The team total for the Rams, 28.5. Yeah, I mean, I could see a 34-13, 34-17, that type of game. Wouldn't be surprised if it's like 38-10. I think early third quarter, middle third quarter, you know, halftime, you're going to be looking for something else to watch. That was the last thing I meant to mention on these college games. I've got in my notes here. These college games take too long. I'm sitting here recording on midnight, recording right after the game. The game is supposed to start 7:30 Eastern, and the game doesn't get over until, you know, basically 11:30. The halftime is an eternity. These college games just take way too long, but I do like the Rams here, minus the points. The second game, and I'd be shocked if the Panthers won the game. Shocked. It'd be one of the bigger upsets I could ever remember in the playoffs if the Panthers had won this game. Packers-Bears, same location as they played 3 weeks ago, Saturday night in Soldier Field. I like the Packers. I just think they're better. The Bears with all this turnover luck, plus 22 in turnovers, all these late comebacks, lucky to beat the Giants and the Raiders. I think Green Bay, look, 11th in DVOA, Bears 16th in DVOA, for those of you who believe that. So I know the Bears have played a little bit better the last month, couple months of the season. Johnson's a good coach, but that was not an inspiring performance on Sunday against the Lions when the Bears were playing to win the game. And the Packers, if this means anything to you, they took a little breather, got basically a mini bye week in week 18 against the Vikings. I think the Packers, look, they won the first game by a touchdown and led the second game by 10 with a couple minutes to go, and probably should have won the game by 10 before all hell broke loose. Buffalo, Jacksonville. I'm still surprised Buffalo's favored by a point and a half. I know you're betting against Allen. You could never be surprised when that guy wins a game. And if it's a close game, I trust Allen over Lawrence. I haven't heard many people pick the Jags, which makes me nervous. I just think the wrong team's favored. They're home. They're getting a point and a half. It's a great teaser leg, and that's a great teaser just in general. Bears, and I feel like every book I look at, they're both not one and a half. The only one that is DraftKings, but you're paying $1.35 for those 10-point teasers, which is expensive. But I think the Jags are the right side. Plus, in a close game, Little, the Jags kicker, can kick it from 95 yards out. I mean, 67, 70 yards. It's just ridiculous. So I like the Jags. Never feels great betting against Allen, especially when the teams are equal. I still don't completely trust Lawrence, but the Jags have played well here. And as much as I don't trust Lawrence, I don't really trust McDermott, the Bills coach, in a big game either. So I'll take Jacksonville. Seems like everyone's on Jacksonville, which makes me nervous, but so be it. Eagles, 49ers. I think the Eagles win the game. Eagles have gotten bet here. If I had to lay it or take it, I would lay it. But as I mentioned, I think JVT brought this up on Sunday, and it was a good look. I'm with him. Under 44.5. Eagles are just an under machine. They have these long drives. They don't have explosive plays. It's death by 1,000 paper cuts. 3 yards, 4 yards. They get it to fourth and one. They tush-push. They run the clock some more. I think they'll play good defense at home. Some weather, some wind. Purdy, who's a really good player, has been a little susceptible to when the weather is shaky. 24-17, if it's closer, 23-20. You can always go over a number. I understand that. But 44.5 is not that high. I don't know that the 49ers, especially Trent Williams, who supposedly practiced on Thursday, he's banged up. Pearsall's banged up, the receiver for the 49ers. I just think Philly, with their crowd, with their running game, I think they are able to win this game, you know, by a touchdown, and it does stay under. So I do like under 44.5. Chargers-Patriots is another game. I heard Drew Dinsick liked the Patriots. He was on the Megapod, and I heard Aaron Schatz liked the Patriots. Until then, it was all Chargers, which always makes you nervous. But I'm with him. I like the Chargers plus the 3.5, and I've said this before about them, and it's overly simplistic. A coach, a quarterback, a defense. I know the offensive line is a mess, but the Patriots don't really get pressure. Patriots 26th in the league in sacks. It's not the team that's going to really exploit that weakness. It is a big-time weakness for the Chargers. I think that the Chargers had their offensive line healthy, had the offensive line they had in September. I guess I think Slater might have gotten hurt in training camp. I think he did. The all-pro tackle. Chargers might be in the Super Bowl. I think Chargers would be my pick to come out, and I wouldn't think twice about it. But I'll take the Chargers plus 3.5. I still don't trust New England. The schedule, there's some fumble luck. There's some fourth down luck. Herbert, at some point, maybe this isn't the team to do it. At some point, Herbert's going to break through and win one of these games and shake the tag that, you know, he's a choker. He's not clutch. He doesn't win these big games. He was bad a few years back against Jacksonville when they lost that playoff game, and he stunk last year against Houston. So he's got something to prove in these games. I'll admit that. I think the Chargers plus 3.5 is the play, and I actually think the Chargers find a way to win the game. By the way, the Saturday night game, and maybe the Sunday night game, might be a little snow. The Bears, Packers, and maybe for Patriots, Chargers. I mean, what is better than that? Night football, snow football in the playoffs. I mean, playoff snow football. It doesn't get much better than that. Before we get to Sammy, Texans, Steelers, I could only look towards taking the 3. The 3.5 got wiped out. But I mentioned this was the first bet I mentioned liking on when we did the Monday show right after the Steelers beat the Ravens. I like the under. 19-16, 20-17, something like that. Tomlin has actually been more aggressive recently. He's not afraid to punt 4th-and-2, 4th-and-3 from midfield. D'Amico Ryans is conservative. I just don't know how Pittsburgh sustains offense against that pass rush. I know Rodgers is going to win with his mind, his accuracy, get the ball out of his hands, but he's not pushing the ball downfield at all. I think, you know, field goal game, both these teams not afraid to kick field goals, play field position. I can't lay it with Houston. I can't lay this number, especially a Texas team that plays indoors, a warm weather team, even though they're not a typical warm weather team. Same thing with the Chargers, not a typical warm weather team because they play good defense and they're almost built for the elements. I can't trust the Texans laying the full field goal on the road. It'd be Steelers or nothing, but I like the under more than anything. 38.5 is low. 38.5 is low, and 40 is not that much in the NFL. You can fall into 40 points by accident in the NFL. And that game last week with the Steelers and the Ravens, just that got out of hand quickly with the scoring. That was, felt like 10-3 for a lot of the game. And then you look up and they're in the, 40s or 50s. And I think cracked 50. What was the final score? Maybe it was 24-22 final, something like that. Under is the play. So I actually like the board here. I actually like the board. We always do that question on the Megapod. If there's one game you want to know part of, I'd have a hard time answering. I guess because the Rams up to 11, I don't love the idea of laying 11 there, but feel pretty good about the Rams. I like the Packers. It worries me everyone's picking the Bills. I get that, but I still like the Jags. So we'll see. Hopefully it plays out accordingly here. So what a great weekend, as I mentioned. What a great weekend. Semifinal game on Friday into all of the football on Sunday. And I mentioned this the other day. If you're looking just for a pizza bet, hey, I want something to root for. I want a long shot. Chargers-Packers Super Bowl is 181-1. I guess Circa has some of the exact outcomes where it's Packers to beat the Chargers or vice versa. It's like 350-1 for one side and 425-1 for the other side. Not bad. I mean, to say it's unlikely is an obvious understatement, but I mean, just look at the lines. Chargers, all right, 3.5-point dogs. Not like they're a 10-point dog or a touchdown dog. Packers a small favorite. The look-ahead lines, Packers would be like a 4-point dog to Seattle. Darnold could have one of his implosions. The Chargers, if they win, they play Denver, they're a 3-point dog. And you're not talking about 7, 10, 12-point upsets. You're talking about, and you got to win six of them. You got to win six of them all on the road. But if you got both teams to the title game, you're in great shape where you can start to monetize that ticket. If you're looking for a real, real long shot, I think that is one that's interesting. And talk about it in past years with the baseball playoffs where it's so random and this year is so wide open, just go for the longest shot and hope you hit a lotto ticket. So that's a fun one. I like Chargers Packers 181-1. You can find that at DraftKings. That's the best price I've seen. But let's talk to Sammy P. Let's get his thoughts. All of these playoff games, Indiana, Oregon, that is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, Should Have Been More podcast. We are back. Friend of the show, special guest to break down the NFL playoffs, a little Indiana, Oregon. It is Sammy P. You get it from Bet Sweats, Fox Sports, Bear Bets. He is all over the place, and he joins us now. Sammy, great time of the year, man. How's it going?
It's going well. You gave me a nice intro there. I just wish the last part of the intro was co-investor in Miami. How many tickets do you have, and what prices do you have?
Well, by the time people listen to this, those will be either into the title game Those will be extinct. So we'll see. I mean, part of this was listening to Bear, and Bear was adamant this whole time, giving credit when they were plus 650 to make it, that they were going to get in if it came down to them versus Notre Dame. So hopefully by the time people listen to this, they're still alive. So we'll talk about little Indiana, Oregon a little bit, but six playoff games. It's a fun weekend. Let's just start Rams and Panthers. Rams are laying 10.5. Look, I know it's not sharp. It's not cool in our circles to be laying double digits, especially on the road in a playoff game. I could only look to the Rams here. I think the Rams win the game, 38-13, 38-10. I actually do like the Rams here. I'm sure you'd be Panthers or pass here, or not necessarily. What's your take on this game?
For me, it was Rams or pass. I would have loved 10. I wasn't that quick. I was on a train to tape Bear Bets when they moved on 10, and I got off the train and walked upstairs, and it was already 10.5 everywhere. Now, it did get to 11, which was bought back. Some group wanted to take 11 on Carolina. If you made me pick it, it would be Rams. I don't love the game. Personally, I'm right on the number. I'm 10. So, that's kind of there. I guess I wouldn't. I've loved to lay 10, but I would have. I don't have an issue. I think I'm always too low on the good teams in the playoffs because it's hard for me to make a true line of 12, 13. I know that's too high. So I kind of shave it down a little bit. But you see a lot of blowouts in the playoffs, man, because you see a lot of bad teams make the playoffs in those first games that first weekend. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Stafford and Puka had a few touchdowns and Kyron Williams had a couple, and this is 35-10. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, and the other thing with that, and the reason double-digit favorites have actually done pretty well in the playoffs, like you mentioned, you get some bad teams, and you get the favorites are focused. The time to beat the double-digit favorite, week eight, week nine, they're a little sleepy, looking ahead to the next week, looking a little hungover from the week before, that kind of thing. When you're getting the better team and you're getting their best effort, that's what lends itself to blowouts, and I do think we get that. All right, Saturday night, Bears-Packers, same time slot as a few weeks ago when they played, a week or so before Christmas. Same building, almost the same point spread too, where that one went back and forth between a point and a half. It's mostly Packers by a point and a half now. I think the Bears are obviously a really enticing teaser leg if you find something to tease it with. That being said, Packers won the first game. Packers were up 10 with a couple minutes to go in the second game. Bears with all this turnover stuff. I know they've improved here the second half of the year. I still like the Packers. What's your take on this game?
I like them in a teaser, Chicago. You sort of hinted at it. You go through 7. To me, that's paramount. And you and I may have some friends who let us do it at minus 110 or minus 120 instead of minus 174 at ESPN Bet or whatever they're charging now for a two-team six-pointer. I like Buffalo up and Chicago up. Both of them through the 7. That's what I would do.
Oh, so you got some Buffalo 1.5. That's another one that's bouncing back and forth between 1.5. So, yeah, no, I'm with you. That one, whoever is a 1.5 point dog, I almost don't even need to know the teams. You show me that 1.5, you know what? NFL lines are tight enough. It's probably going to be a close game more times than not.
I brought this up, actually, with Joe when we got the bracket. We did a show that would have been, what, Sunday night when the playoff bracket was coming out, getting finalized and all that. And I said, I will take whoever the dog is at the right time, and I will take them both up, whether it was Chicago or Green Bay or Buffalo or Jacksonville. You know, like I feel like, could there be blowouts? Of course, because as I alluded to earlier, you have a lot of variance in the playoffs, and teams can score a lot of points, and other teams start gambling. So a team could be tied, and then they're down 14 because they went for it on 4th and 1 at the 40, and then the other team has a French door into the end zone again. So this happens. I mean, games can get away from teams a lot more in the playoffs, I feel like, because there's a lot more risk and a lot more of that involved. But to get either of those teams up, I agree with you. Fundamentally, like taking either team through 7 on the dog side, I think is a good idea mathematically.
Jags-Bills, I get the sense you're a Bills guy. I know there's been a lot of sentiment. I think it's fair that the Jags may be a touch better in their home and that the Jags are being discounted here. But what's your take on the game?
I can't give you an unbiased take. I apologize. I just can't. I can't do it here because I made my first Bills bet in August, and I have added multiple onto the fire. So I've popped them at 9, 10 to 1, and then, yeah, I went back in at 12. When they lost to Philly, they were a 2-point conversion away from beating Philly, and the pass went incomplete, and they went up to 12 to 1, and I bet more. So I'm like, that's my saving grace this football season, that Buffalo can make a run. I have so many Super Bowl positions that it's hard for me to look at this game and not like Buffalo. So again, total bias on my end, but it's been a position that's been building since the summer.
How about this next one? 49ers and Eagles. I like the under. To me, the Eagles profile just is a beautiful under team. They don't have any explosive plays on offense. Good on defense, especially with that crowd. You know, Purdy hasn't been great in shaky weather. It's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. I could just see Philly grinding out these 7-8 minute drives and sucking the clock. And they win, 24-17, 23-20 if it's close. I like the under. I think Philly probably wins the game. I don't love laying 5.5 here. But what's your thought on this game? Any bets you like?
Well, Philly's definitely the sharp side. And I got a little bit, but it's not something that I did on my own volition, right? Like somebody said, hey, we're about to bet this and let's go. Actually, the latest story that I have up on Fox, it's interesting because the story behind the story is that I talked to a pro bettor first and he was like, yeah, we whacked the Eagles and we might go get more. Second part of the story is me talking to Chris Andrews, who books at the South Point. He's in the drive thru at Walgreens trying to get some medicine. And he's like, hold on, Sammy, I got to call you back. We reconnect. And the move that was talked about with the bettor had happened again, and they bet more Philly. So, like, this is all happening as I'm writing the story. Long story short, they laid 4.5 today in Vegas and got people up to 5. And, you know, that's kind of where we sit. I saw DraftKings was 5.5.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. And well, look, Circa and Westgate are both 5.5 now. So Wise Guys laid 3.5, 4, and then 4.5 and 5 today. It's one-way sharp, though. That's not little bets from losing players, you know?
You think we see buyback at some point? I mean, those are some dead numbers, 4, 4.5, 5. A lot of games don't land on 5 especially, but, I mean, that's you want every half point you can get, but do you think we see a little San Francisco money at some point if it reaches 6? Like, what's the point of buyback?
Well, obviously 7 would be the ultimate wish for anybody looking to bet San Francisco, because you would just take the high side. It would never get through seven. I don't know that we get two, though. That's a little far-fetched, I think. Maybe six. But look, you're going to see Philly support. I mean, just because it's 5.5 doesn't mean it's going to stop. Like, they might hit 5.5 again, because I think the bet's there basically saying Philly by seven. So, you know, it's hard to forecast how far it goes on the Philly side. And then whenever the ceiling appears to be coming back down, then people will just pile in. You know, we know guys like Spanky's team will see one book move from 6 to 5.5 and then just attack, because they want the best of the market and they want the CLV. So that's always going to be a cat and mouse game. But you remember in COVID, like, these numbers, guys, like, a game would get bet from 2 to 6 or 1 to 7, like a Wisconsin-Michigan game comes to mind. Michigan had all these guys out on COVID, and then people were just taking Michigan +7. I think the final score was 49-7. Like, people take numbers, not even really liking the teams. They just like the numbers.
So are you on board with the Philly side, or you think it's gone too far?
No, I would – I mean, let's see what the best you can lay right now. Again, this, we're doing a podcast. Wow, there's a book that has a 4.5 still, and there's a lot of 5. I would still bet Philly. Yeah, I liked it before the second move, if you will. But I think you should lay that 5, 4.5 while you still can, because there's a good chance we get to the weekend and we're 6.
Any feel on the total?
Mm-mm, not really. I mean, market's coming down for sure. 46 to 44.5 makes sense. I think you watch the way that Seattle just dominated the lines of scrimmage against San Francisco, and then Philly's got arguably a better O-line and a better D-line, you know? And I was getting notifications. I have the underdog NFL right to my phone, so I can see, you know, prominent injury notes. And I got one yesterday that said, oh, Lane Johnson and Jalen Carter are back for Philly. And I'm like, of course, because that was always the plan. In that story, I thought this was a really good way to put the game. The pro bettor that I talked to said, got to find the quote here, the Eagles didn't prioritize the regular season. The Niners scratched and clawed for every yard. Ain't that the truth? I mean, if Philly on talent alone plays at the level we're used to and they're healthy, you know, Niners defense is just shot right now. Why can't this be 23-10 or something like that?
Yep, certainly makes sense to me. The next game is interesting. I don't think I heard anyone all week, and it's Patriots laying 3.5 to the Chargers. I don't think I heard anyone all week like the Patriots until today. I heard Aaron Schatz, a couple other people say, you know what, this line's a little cheap. It's disrespectful to New England. I just look at the Chargers. I know that offensive line is a mess, but you got a quarterback, you got a coach, and you got a defense. And the New England schedule, I know it's been beaten to death here, but to me, the 3.5 is a play on the Chargers. Would you agree, or are you like the favorite here?
Yeah, I'm a dog guy, though, so for me to like a team like Philly, it's pretty telling, right? Or a team like the Rams. Like, I'm mostly a dog-or-die guy. You know, I have fundamentally an issue laying 3.5 points with a quarterback who's never played in a playoff game before. And I don't know. Maybe that's lazy or selfish, but that's how I feel. The Chargers, I just wish they were healthy on the O-line. That's the one thing. Like, couldn't you just see where Herbert gets hit 8 times in the first half and weird shit happens? Like, that's my fear. Like, if I make a Charger bet, I'm going to say it like this. I expect it to lose, even though I like it. Does that make sense?
It does. And the one thing that, and I completely agree about the offensive line, if they had their tackles, I think they'd probably be the favorite in the AFC, because I think the rest of the team is really good. Would like a little more skill guys, but a little more juice to skill position, but you can't have everything. The offensive line is just went from being a strength to such a weakness. Thing is, the Patriots don't really test that. The Patriots 26th in the league in sacks, right down there in pressure rate. So maybe the Patriots, maybe this is a good matchup where the Patriots aren't going to expose that weakness.
That is a good stat. And also consider that the teams that they played collectively were one of the easiest gaggle of teams in the last quarter century. So all the Patriots stats are kind of skewed because they did play a very easy schedule. But don't tell their fans that on Instagram, because then they say mean things.
Texans now laying 3 at Pittsburgh. Total has come down here under 38.5. I have a hard time laying 3. It would be Pittsburgh or pass. I actually do like the under, even though every point, half point, when the total's low to begin with, becomes harder and harder to beat. I just think this has 20-17, 19-16 written all over it. Houston team, an indoor team from Texas, playing outdoors in cold weather. Steelers, I know they're not great defensively as much as their reputation, but Rodgers against that defense, I don't think they move the ball well. I just think points will be very hard to come by here. Both coaches can be conservative at times, field position kind of game, field goal game. I like the under more than anything. Do you have a thought on this one?
I remember you were texting everybody, like, what's that total and how much are we betting on the under? And you were like, man, I'd be probably down. Were you through 37, like 36?
I thought 37. Yeah, I thought 37 would probably be where it would open.
Yeah, I mean, you could be very right. I mean, this could easily be 13 to 10. I wouldn't be surprised. Here's what I can tell you about what I heard about the game. John Murray's on Chicken Dinner, which is coming out later today. And he said their sharpest accounts are all betting Pittsburgh. So when you hear that, you think that's interesting because a lot of these rec shops like the DraftKings, the FanDuels, the BetMGMs are all saying, oh, heavy ticket cut on Houston. And then you got a Vegas guy who's telling you that their sharp players are on the dog. And you do the quick arithmetic and you're like, oh, these are the sides I should probably be on as a bettor. I want to bet with what the house needs, especially in a playoff game. But that's pretty telling. And then you talk to guys at the Nugget and guys at Circa. They all say the same things. Like, they're seeing sharp play from Pittsburgh, and, you know, that isn't really budging off three. You know, it was 3.5 for, like, an eyelash, and then that blinked, and it's been three, and it ain't moving off three, man. So there's some respected play that's keeping Pittsburgh very live.
Who's your Super Bowl?
Wow. I mean, before the season, I said Buffalo and San Fran. Buffalo winning over San Francisco. If you give me a mulligan, I'd go Buffalo-Philly. And I'm not going to change my pick. I don't believe in that. Bills all the way.
All right. College. Oregon is taking a little money. We're down to 3.5. This should be a fun game. Friday night rematch. Either Indiana or Oregon playing for the title. I can't wait for this game. I like the dog. I think that, I mean, a lot of the film guys will say, once you see this Indiana defense the first time, it's really complex. It's hard to deal with. Maybe the second time it's a little easier. Oregon maybe a little healthier at wide receiver this time around. I think Oregon plays well in the game. I think maybe a field goal game, if nothing else. So I like taking the points here. What's your take on this game?
I texted a couple guys that make numbers, and I said, I think I'm a little too low on this one because I made it Indiana -2.5. And obviously market opened higher, and we saw 4, 4.5 earlier this week. And then I got texts back from guys that I respect, guys that you know, that said, I made it 2. I made it 1, and I'm like, wow, yes, this is it. This is what happens. Nobody wants to bet Indiana against Bama, and then Bama gets blown out, and it's, look at Indiana. Complete team, the team to beat. And then the number is just a little bit more expensive against Oregon. I like the Ducks' defense, and I love landing catching points, man. Like, if I make it 2.5 and these guys are making it 2-1, I think we know what to do, right?
Yeah, it's not a bad way to look at it. Should be a lot of fun. I can't wait for this game. Should be great. It's a great weekend, too. Starting with the game Thursday, a playoff game Friday in college, and then everything wildcard weekend. That's about as good as it gets. Before you go, do you have a college basketball team that you like more than the market, a sleeper, that kind of team? Is people will quickly turn their attention to college hoops now with these NFL games. You start to get into single digits pretty soon. You have anyone in college you're looking at?
Only because my buddy Rackcheck says that this is a really good price on them, I found myself getting some tickets on Arkansas to win a Final Four or to win a region to get to the Final Four. And then, you know, I love that market because there's a lot of teams. The conversation expands when we go from national champion to Final Four team, right? There are just some teams you would never bet to win the whole thing, but they could win a region if things broke their way. He says Arkansas. And there was a 60-1 a week ago. I don't believe that's available anymore. But, yeah, here we go. Back to Coach Cal. I've never been burned on that bridge before in my career.
They got a lot of talent. But like you said, it's Coach Cal. And they gave away the game last year. What was it, Texas Tech, where they were up like 9 or 10 in the last few minutes? And I don't think that was a title team. But that's what he does. He pulls off an upset. He beats St. John's. He gets to the Sweet 16. He overachieves. And then, you know, once it looks like he's going to the Elite Eight, it just that unfolds. And
I've been on the wrong side of that guy, not to go here, but I was on the wrong side of him. I had Memphis.
Oh.
And I'm just like, come on. Like,
up 9 with a couple minutes to go in that game too, I think.
Make a free throw. In 2012, I was on Kansas. I had Kansas futures. Kansas lost to Kentucky, coached by Cal. and I was on the wrong side of him bad a couple years ago when they had Reed Shepard and Dillingham and all those guys. I had like 30-40 to 1, and then they lost in the first round, and I was like, that's it. That's it. I'll never do it again. And then I did it again last week.
Here you are. Sammy, you're the best, man. Appreciate the time. Where can we find you?
Just on Twitter. It's easy. At SP Shoot. Everything you need is there.
All right, that'll do it. Rate, review, subscribe, enjoy what is an incredible weekend. Savor these weekends while you can, because running out of football pretty quickly. Pretty quickly. It's just it's a little bit of that lull where it's college basketball and a wait until the conference tournaments in March Madness. We're not there yet, though. Got to enjoy it. See you Monday.